All right, welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, Army Navy Radio Row. Once again, Pennsylvania Convention Center, downtown Philadelphia. And it's great to sit down with a former captain of the Navy football team. It is Navy Captain Jervy Alota. And we were just talking about your name, all the things that you were called over the years, and that your dad even kind of changed it once, right?
Yeah, that is so true. So, hey, thanks for having me, Rick. Yeah, so my name is Jervy Alota, and it was a derivative of Hervasio. And then so they Americanized it and just made it Jervy. And I remember as a plebe, they didn't have any of the pronunciation sheets because I was kind of a surprise starter. So it was on NBC Notre Dame, and they called me Gervy Alota. Gervy Alota. And then that's who I became. And even my family, I'd go home on Thanksgiving, and my dad would introduce me. This is my son, Gervy. I'm like, come on, Dad, you named me. Let's go.
So did you get a lot of jokes for Alota jokes?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the secondary at the time was Chris Hart, Joe Speed, and myself. So they would say the Navy secondary with a lot of heart and speed.
Wow, that's too easy.
Yeah,
huh?
But that's not my name. My name is Alota. But it was, yeah, I got a lot of that stuff.
Where's that from originally? Is that...
I'm Filipino.
Filipino,
yeah,
okay.
Filipino.
I was going to say, like Panay.
Yeah, my dad is from Visaya, and my mom is from Manila. So I'm 100% Filipino.
That's cool, because I'm from the Bay Area, and, you know, growing up Catholic,
yeah.
You know, but I love the sisig pork. And
absolutely,
lumpia,
yeah, you know.
And, oh,
you're a brother.
For
Let's
sure.
go.
For sure. I'm a honorary Pinoy, for sure.
There you go.
Let's talk about your time as captain of the team, because I played D2 college football in the 80s, and I think about how hard it was. It's hard enough just to be a midshipman, much less be a, you know, intercollegiate NCAA athlete. How did you marry those two things together? I mean, it's a challenge probably like you've never had before.
It was a challenge, but you don't think about it when you're a mid, right? Like, as a parent, I see it now. I see how hard it is to manage academics and then the workload of being a D1 athlete. But at the time when you're actually a mid, you don't think about it. People always talk about balance. It's like you went through that. You're a plebe. You went through plebe summer. You had the military regimen. That is what they do to you. You know, they just throw a whole bunch of stuff on your plate and you're just forced to eat it all. But then as I'm looking back, I think I've been able to, you know, maintain, sustain my career in the Navy because of the experiences that I've had as a Navy football player, you know, going through 18, 21 credits a semester where all the rest of the D1 athletes are doing 12, 14. I don't even know what the minimum
wow.
is. But as a, you know, as a young plebe, I had 18 units. As a sophomore, I had 18 units, if not more. So it doesn't get any
easier.
And
we're talking engineering and all
that
stuff.
We're talking double E. We're talking calculus. We're talking, you know, all of the engineering classes that I can't even, you know, pronounce. And here I am, just a dumb jock, just trying to play some ball. But it was a great institution, and it really taught me a lot about just balancing and managing your time and being humble and blessed to be where you're at.
Well, trained to be leaders in our military, and you have your own ship, the
Absolutely.
USS John B. Murtha, a San Antonio class amphibious transport dock.
Yeah.
I looked it up. I didn't know that by heart. Tell us a little bit more about that platform, as they say.
Yeah, so I have my change of command, so I've already left the ship, but I've commanded 3 ships.
Wow.
And, so if I had 05 command, which is a smaller command, and I had about 350 sailors and about 400 Marines. Now, this last ship that I commanded, the John P. Murtha, LPD 26, had about 400 sailors and another 600 Marines. So all in total, when we sail, we got 1,000 people on that ship making it go. Anywhere from all the food, the stores, the engineering, the weapon systems, the Marines, the people that operate the well deck, paint the sides of the ship. So it is truly a team effort to get that ship to get underway, to sail, and if called, you know, fight and hopefully win. Mm-hmm.
I love all the acronyms, too, because my dad was lieutenant commander in the Navy, and he was in the 50s. He was in Hawaii before it was a state, and he was on the Admiral staff, SyncPAC, Comcardi 15, and how many Maus and a MAGTAF and all these things that we would have to learn. But retiring lieutenant commander just missed out on the scrambled eggs, which you have on your bill.
I do, yep.
Yeah. So are you looking at a career of, is there an exit strategy or are you just going to keep riding it?
So I always told myself that my time would be done when I'm no longer having fun. Mm. And I wake up every day excited and thrilled to get to work. So I work in the mountain now at Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado Springs. Wow. And I truly feel blessed when I get up. I know that I have to go through the gate. I have to validate, you know, my ID. I need to do some biometrics to get into the mountain. So I am extremely honored and privileged to be able to wow. work in that place and to do the things that we do. So I tell my guys all the time, we are the world's premier lookout. We do a lot of things in protection of our country, in defense of our country. And the simple fact that we have that opportunity to stand the watch when others sleep, you know, kind of, you know, the human in the loop, letting folks know that something's coming.
Wow.
It's an mm-hmm. honor to have that opportunity, and I'm feeling blessed that not only do I get to stand the watch, but I also get to lead all of those
wow.
sailors, guardians, you know, Marines, soldiers.
Guardians, Space Force.
It's a joint job.
Wow. Well, only the best of the best, right?
Well, it's part of the process, you know, for the next level. So
let me ask you this, because I was in Colorado Springs this summer. I didn't know there was a lightning storm every day at 4 o'clock. Why they put in an academy there, I have no idea. For the Air Force.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you this. Did you ever do the Manitou Incline?
So I haven't yet. So I just moved there in September. I left the ship, and then I arrived in Colorado Springs in September. Mm-hmm. It was my first move in the Navy in 25 years. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a culture shock to move.
No water there.
Yeah, so we had to get climatized, right? Get used to elevation. Mm-hmm. And then so we went to our house. Movers came. My wife broke her foot on the first day.
Oh, no.
So we do everything together, and the first thing we wanted to do together was walk the incline.
Yeah.
And we haven't been able to because she still has a broken foot.
Well, I'll just say, they sell these little things that are like oxygen things. Bring lots of granola bars, lots of apples, lots of water. I did it in the summer when it was 95 degrees.
Oh, my goodness.
And you go from like 7,000 to 9,000. I barely made it. Now, some people say, I walk it every day. I'm like, BS. Yeah. You don't walk it every day. Because each step is like 3 feet. And it's almost like a four-point climb.
Yeah, what about when you're like at the, I think they call it the false end. Like you're at the,
yeah,
you like think you're at the top, but then you still have another half
yeah,
a mile.
Yeah, it's like two-thirds up. Now, I'm 57, you know. I'm in relatively good shape.
Oh, you look great.
Thanks. I paid a lot for this hairpiece. But it sucked.
Yeah.
So just, but I think you'll probably do a better job.
Well, I appreciate it. I hope so. I got bad knees from my time playing ball, but I think I can still do it.
And we got to run here, so one more question. Shoot. What is the one thing when you watch this game, do you look at it as, I want to play so bad, or do you look at it like, man, I'm glad I'm not playing anymore?
Oh, I want to play so bad. The environment, the energy, you know, the roaring fans, playing for something so special, looking to my left and to my right and seeing folks that, you know, I am going to be fighting with, you know, the following year, mm-hmm. not on the playing field, but in the field of battle. I've never wanted to suit up so bad. Like the first time I seen an Army-Navy game, not playing, I had that feeling. And 20 years later, 25 plus years later, I still feel like I could put it on. I could put on, you know, suit up and, mm-hmm. and get on the field, maybe just for a play, maybe just to run on and, you know, call timeout or something. But, you know, just to have that opportunity again would be a dream come true. But, you know, much respect for both teams, much respect for, you know, what these guys go through on a daily basis. I truly wish them the luck, you know, the best of luck. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's all about Navy winning and, you know, mm-hmm. I feel sorry for those Army guys. You know, if they play a schedule like Navy, then maybe they'd toughen up a little bit. But those guys are awesome. I work with a bunch of Army folks now, and they're unbelievable.
Well, you said people. Your only enemy is 3 hours a year, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's Captain Jervy Alota.
That's correct.
And congratulations, as Jack Nicholson said, we need you on that wall.
That's right.
So thanks for keeping us safe, man. Good to meet you.
Thank you, brother. Nice meeting you, too.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.